This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you have done a phenomenal job.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Now let me throw a couple at you. What's your name?
Don.
Don.
I'm fat. I don't want you zooming in on me. Back up.
Don, you understand what I'm saying?
No, I'm out.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
Huh? Hello? What?
What's up, homies?
Hi, guys.
Now, RJ, you already did a tremendous job with the new intro for ENN. But I right now in the future, I think the I'm fat, me screaming I'm fat, will soon need to be replaced with.
Bang, bang!
Absolutely. Bang, bang. That's... I don't want to sound like the typical listener or tweeter. That's going to make a run.
Bang, bang!
That could be a one seed.
I love it. Proportionally torn. Very talented.
And plus, there's so many ways to which you can use that.
It can't exactly blend into like some town in Iowa.
Hey, good evening to Don.
People love Chubby.
And to Michael.
Brendan Brown?
Why do I have a feeling I'm going to have to explain myself or explain to Brendan Brown what all that means?
Because he'll have to know context, and I don't remember it anymore.
I do.
ENN is fueled by Sloman's tonight, by the way.
Brendan Brown?
What was the context?
When I went to Kenny's Barbecue, I said that there were a lot of people that knew more about Michael's condition than me because they would text to, how are you, Michael, and he would send a soliloquy back, and I would basically get two words. And he said, who? And I said, Brendan Brown. And he obviously disagreed.
Brendan Brown?
I did pull that name right out of my rectum, though.
They would be so stunned by how great I look, their eyeballs would fall out.
Yeah.
Do you not hear what's good about that one?
The fact that I lend support?
No, him stumbling on eyeballs?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Welcome to ENN. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it here. I'm just mentioning the story, Don. Let's keep moving. We did enough on it. Domingo Germán placed on leave under the domestic violence policy. It's unclear exactly what happened here, but Herman's been the best pitcher for the Yankees all year, 18-4, 4.03 ERA, 153 strikeouts, and he will now be gone for a week under the joint domestic violence policy. A player can be put on administrative leave for up to 7 days, barring an extension. So the word is this may have happened in public the other day. In front of, who was the official? The official was from?
From the commissioner's office.
The commissioner's office.
But that's been disputed now, where the report is it was done at home. And if it was done at home, then I would think the only way that that could be made public would be if the woman in question filed a report, right?
That, yeah, exactly. So then we'd be looking at something criminal and not just something that baseball is deciding to do. So we're talking Yankees. So let's keep it here with CeCe Sabathia. Yesterday was CeCe's last start in a regular season game at Yankee Stadium. And here's CeCe on getting a standing O after 11 years with the team.
Yeah, that was amazing. Nothing like, the Bronx and New York City and, putting the pinstripes on. So got a chance to do that for 11 years. Definitely a blessing.
We'll see what happens with CeCe in the postseason. Ron Rivera, frustrated today and abruptly ended his press conference.
No. Did it have anything to do with Cam?
It did. And it was less than 2.5 minutes in when questions persisted about Cam.
I'm not going to talk about it anymore, guys. I mean, let's talk about Arizona. I mean, I haven't really talked about Arizona, so it'd be good to answer those kind of questions.
Cam, though.
I know it's about Cam, but I don't know anymore until tomorrow. So let's just, let's talk about Arizona. If not, there's no reason for me to stand here.
And you felt before the opener you were 100% confident he was going to be ready to go. Where are you on that level now?
I just asked you to ask some questions about somebody else. I'm not going to do this anymore, okay? I told you, I won't know anything until tomorrow, okay? Thank you.
Golly. Hey, listen. He did it as nicely as possible, even threw a golly in.
By the way, though.
That's the nicest walkout I've ever heard.
No, that's true. Let's just say, why do coaches do this? We really want to talk about Arizona. You have a game coming up against a terrible team that doesn't have an interesting storyline to talk about. They have a young quarterback. Okay, what are you going to do with Kyler Murray? We're going to try to figure him out. He's fast. Ooh, we don't know. Come on, man. They want to talk about your quarterback. Does he have a real injury problem here? Is he potentially never going to be the same guy again? Is he going to miss time? What's going on? Why do they get surprised?
I understand the coach is very influential and very important, but he should not be able to dictate the questions he gets. Otherwise, send out an email to all of the beat reporters before the press conference and say, coach is only going to be answering questions on the Arizona Cardinals, and then have no one show up.
Right, have an empty room.
Which I guess would be exactly what he wants, because he doesn't want to have to do it. I'm sorry. This is a major story. Now, we can get creative, and I can just ask some bogus question about Arizona that I really don't have. But Cam Newton's a big deal.
And he's uncertain for Sunday, so it's a big deal. I mean, you're going to talk about Kyler Murray the whole time?
Who's Spud Murray?
No, Kyler Murray.
Who's Spud Murray?
But he walked out. He was nice about it.
He was polite.
Yeah, he was polite. Golly.
What do you think happens with Cam?
I don't think he's done per se, but I think his best years are behind him. I mean, I guess the best thing is that maybe this is an issue. It gets corrected and he can find himself, but I just have this feeling that he just beat up. He just did not look great.
Man, I'll tell you what. Cam at his best felt impossible to stop.
Well, he was...
He was incredibly accurate, threw a beautiful ball.
And he was built like a linebacker, but had agility.
Could run. You get down to the goal line, you know you can't stop him.
He was
He had the potential to be the perfect prototype quarterback.
Like, he was as big as Roethlisberger, but more like skilled at dodging hits. Well, like, Roethlisberger was difficult to bring down. He didn't dodge you. It just, you'd hit him and you'd bounce off of him.
He's like Roethlisberger if instead of being fat and repug and throwing an ugly ball, he was a beautiful, handsome man who was perfect and threw it like in a statuesque way.
You make excellent points. But what I'm saying is,
I hear you too.
Both are built like linebackers.
Well, yeah. Like, Roethlisberger's a linebacker who retired in 1979.
But
I hear what you're saying.
Bigger than the average quarterback, yes. Tough to bring down, but Cam was an athlete. But with being an athlete comes getting hit unnecessarily. Right? And that's going to wear athletes down. That's why these coaches are always trying to encourage their quarterbacks to stay in the pocket, because that's going to help longevity-wise. Right?
So true. Yeah, of course. Jamal Adams is not happy. A couple of tough penalties on Monday night, and now he's fined $21,506 by the NFL for a roughing the passer penalty on Baker Mayfield. Got to tell you, this was a second late, but it was basically just a shove, and Mayfield fell down. This was not a penalty-worthy hit. Here's Jamal Adams on the fine.
Well, the frustrating part is, you know, it's 21K. That's the frustrating part. You know what I mean? It's the money. You know what I mean? That's what I'm frustrated about. You know, obviously, I'm not going to get too in-depth with it because, my mother told me to calm down. She was upset with me that I was cursing last night on social media. So I'm not going to curse now. But she also told me to calm down. But that's what I'm mad about. I'm mad about the 21K. That's where it starts. And it was a legal hit. In my opinion, it wasn't, you know, unnecessary roughness. And then, if anything, I mean, it didn't look like, you know, Baker was in any pain because he got up and talked noise to me. So, you know, at the end of the day, man, I guess, you know, we can't touch quarterback.
See, that last part's smart. You can't. That's the way you have to deal with it. I took exception to the whole, I'm going to play my game, nothing's going to change. No, you're going to have to change because you're not allowed to touch the quarterback. It's better to do it that way. I get that it stinks and it's not old school, but if you want to go out and play 80s football or even like early 2000s football and beat the quarterback up, you're probably going to get fined a lot. You're probably going to. And more important than that, you're probably going to continue drives and give automatic first downs to the offense, which this team cannot afford to do. Try that against Tom Brady on Sunday and see how it works out. Try breathing in the wrong direction of Tom Brady. How do you think the officials are going to fall on that, Peter? Who's getting the benefit of the doubt on any kind of hit to Tom Brady? So change. Adapt.
Adapt or die, Don.
That's right.
Jalen Ramsey will play tonight despite his trade request to the Jaguars. Doug Marrone emphasized that Ramsey will play and that there are, quote, no lingering issues regarding the shouting match during Sunday's game. After the game, of course, Ramsey's agent informed the team that he wanted a trade. But that has not happened. Not as of now. He is still a Jaguar.
And he's still motivated to play. He's not going to mail it in. He's going to want to play so that he can...
Every blue moon situations like this can turn into something good. Every blue moon, depending on what the relationship is like between Marone and Ramsey beyond what we saw the other day.
I don't think it affects the game. I'm not touching it. That game is completely unattractive to me.
I mean, it's unattractive from every perspective. I honestly don't even know how they can come out week three and do that. Bury that week nine.
Well, no, how can it be week three? I think they want to get it over with early because they like to keep the Thursdays in division. This is a traditional Thursday game that they always – I think they had it late one year, and it was just ridiculous. I think they were doing it in the hopes that, like, one of the teams would need the game.
Oh, well, if you do it early, at least neither team's terrible yet.
Right. And so you could say the game is meaningful. But if you're going to run the chance of it, like, being a Week 17 matchup or something, forget about it. I mean, no, they don't have them in Week 17, but you know what I mean. Week 15, and both teams are out of it, it'll still get a decent number because it's football, and people will bet on it. But
oosh.
I'm good.
I'm good, too. The U.S. men's basketball team keeps its number one spot in the FIBA rankings despite the seventh place finish.
So how does that
just happen? A couple of weeks ago.
How does that work?
I don't know. It has held the number one ranking since winning the 2010 World Championship. So the World Cup champion, Spain, stayed at number two. Australia took a big leap up to number three. Argentina to four.
You just played an international tournament and finished in seventh. How else do you compare yourself but playing in a tournament against other countries?
I don't know. But it's not based. It's not all in the thing that just happened.
Is it based on?
Well, I'm assuming the ranking is based on like the way that you've performed over time. So if it's a tennis ranking and Djokovic wins a tournament, but up until the tournament, Federer had been number one for 18 straight months. He wins one big tournament. Djokovic doesn't become number one in the world.
No, but you could be in jeopardy if you finish like, you know, you don't make it to the semis of a major. That could affect you. Listen, are they the best in the world? I'm just saying you finished in seventh going up against other, I don't know, just weird. Not that it matters.
Bang, bang!
Right? I don't know.
Gerrit Cole is the second fastest to reach 300 strikeouts in a season. Here's what it sounded like on KBME.
Cole, the kick and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Got him on a changeup. Gerrit Cole, 300 strikeouts. First Astros pitcher to do that in 33 years.
33 years would have been what? 1986?
So yeah, you want to talk about two people have done it.
No.
No.
Mike Scott?
That is correct. That's one. This is one guessing game I'm not going to play on. The other was J.R. Richard.
Oh, yeah. That's the one that Michael brings up all the time. Had a stroke.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
He was good.
J.R. Richard?
Yeah. And Mike Scott, although I believe he doctored the baseball, but listen, he got away with it.
Antonio Brown has lost his deal with Nike.
You're kidding me. For what?
That's weird, right? He is no longer represented by the company. He is not a Nike athlete, a company spokesperson told the Boston Globe. Which also reported the spokesperson declining to comment on why or the timing of the decision. Could it be because of what's going on with Brittany Taylor, his former trainer?
I would think so.
Who filed a civil suit in a district court in Miami against him, accusing him of three different incidents of sexual assault in 2017 and 2018 in Pennsylvania and Miami. Probably related to that, would be my guess.
Well, you try to get spokespeople that are going to help move your brand forward. I don't see how Brown does that with everything that's going on.
Brendan Brown?
No, Antonio Brown.
I understand.
You really don't want to make that that mistake right now. Big night for the New York Mets tonight, Don, potentially.
And then they're not even playing.
And yet they already have the number down to three.
Yeah.
And with the right loss, that number could change yet again, 2.5.
Well, they're not getting help in Milwaukee. The Brewers are up 3-1 on the Padres in the top of the sixth.
Come on!
So the Milwaukee is still there. But Philadelphia lost earlier today, so the Mets all just got to get by Milwaukee. And if they can get help from the Cardinals beating the Cubs, they can get within two. So we'll see how it works out. They're not going to make it, but why do I have a feeling they're not going to make it? And we're going to look back at that game in Washington and say, that's the game that if they held on to that 10-4 lead in the ninth inning, they'd be in the playoffs right now.
Because if they have a great weekend, we can come back Monday and they could be a game out. I mean, technically, they could be in the wild
card. They're in Cincinnati. And Michael made a great point. Great American Ballpark is a bandbox, so maybe Alonso can get a couple of home runs there and get closer to Judge for the all-time rookie record. So, hey, you got a reason to watch, right? You're a Met fan. If you're a Giant fan, a Jet fan, the football's not doing much for you right now. We got a ways to go before hockey and basketball get started. There's a reason to turn a Met game on. Not tonight because they're off. But if you got the baseball package, and I believe you could probably find the game somewhere on the radio or whatever, take a look at Cubs, Cardinals. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah, sit back. Order the ticket if you're a real fan.
That'll show me some. I'm sure they discounted this late in the season.
Yeah, you should be able to get in there cheap at the end.
You should be able to get like the last week for like $10.
I don't see why not. Was Nancy excited about you interviewing Barry Zito?
Well, she was disappointed she didn't get a chance to meet him.
Well, why didn't she come?
Well, because there was no daycare yesterday for the kids, so she had the kids.
Bring the kids.
For a 6:30 interview, coming to the city at like 4:30, the other alternative would come with me to work and have the kids running around here for 5 hours. Just didn't work out, unfortunately.
Well, I understand that, and I don't disagree, but are you allowed to be disappointed if the opportunity was there? It just would have been a matter of sacrifice.
She's not mad at me, but she enjoyed the stories.
I thought it was very good.
I thought it was I don't know how many people caught it, but I got a lot of compliments on Twitter. It was very interesting stuff, and I'm really looking forward to diving into the book. I'll tell you what book I'm reading right now.
What's that?
But I'm not sure I'm prepared for it, for the reaction. I don't have the author, but I can get that all for you tomorrow if you want. But We Want Fish Sticks is the name of the book.
Is it about South Park or something?
No, it's about when the Islanders changed their logo to the fisherman logo. I'm kind of surprised they had a whole book about it. So I'm kind of reading the book to see how they filled, 200 pages. But that's what I'm reading right now. But I can understand if you went after me because of the Curtis Armstrong book, which I still think is a classic. Then I'm sure this
one. How does this compare to the Booger book?
The Booger book was much better so far, but the things can change. Listen, if you're a fan of Revenge of the Nerds, if you're a fan of Better Off Dead, if you're a fan of Moonlighting, the Curtis Armstrong book is a must.
Bang, bang!
I'm not sure just being an Islander fan
is enough
to read the Fish Sticks book, but I'm reading it because that's me.
You're an avid reader.
The Yankees have played 7 doubleheaders this year, Don and Peter. That's 14 games. What do you think their record is?
6-1. I can't believe they didn't have a drop of your mismanagement.
It just wouldn't be as fun. Andrew, can you explain and agree with me that it just wouldn't be as funny, my math mistake, as Don's aggressive 6-1? I'm not the only one who feels that way.
Well, because he says it with such confidence.
It's the excitement you have.
No, I understand that.
I was just adding it up, but I didn't realize
that because it wasn't as good as other drops, that means it doesn't become a drop.
50.
And then add 10.
60.
Then divide it by 4.
12.
No.
20.
No.
That's a classic. But like Ed Hospodar, there's so many more better than Ed Hospodar. You still cut that. It still gets played on occasions.
Ed Hospodar. It's a great point.
Get me help. He's my friend.
I'm a big boy.
I can't read. I'd love to be charitable. I'm Don LaGreca, sidekick to Michael Kay.
Gladiator is 34. 35 is Titanic, another overrated movie. From Here to Eternity, 36. Saving Private Ryan, 37.
Limited media availability for Antonio Brown earlier today. He deflected a question on whether he's heard from the NFL about being able to play through the season. Quote, I appreciate the question. I'm just here to focus on ball.
That was nice.
I look forward to getting out there in the home stadium and being with the team.
I don't know what LeVar Ball had to do with this.
I'm super grateful to be here to play for Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up, but I'm excited and grateful to be here and be a part of these guys.
I don't understand why they even make him available. But at least he was respectful. He didn't walk out.
So Dolphins made some moves.
Really?
That's correct. It's now Josh Rosen time in Miami.
Well, why not?
Brian Flores decided to make a quarterback switch ahead of the big game against the Cowboys, naming the chosen Rosen as his starting quarterback. Ryan Fitzpatrick now goes to the bench. They also claimed Taco Charlton, who just left Dallas, claimed him off waivers.
Probably trying to get info. Big game.
Yeah, and this should be an interesting situation. Now, With them claiming him saves Dallas from having to pay him $1.6 million in guaranteed base salary in 2019. So interesting, some interesting storylines in what will not be an interesting game.
Well,
Miami and Dallas.
I was thinking about this though. And again, I'm going to sound like a Cowboy hater, which I am, but I try to be fair. Dak's going to have another big game.
That's correct.
I mean, he's going to complete 100% of his passes for 1,000 yards. I mean, he's going up against the Dolphins. So his stats are really going to get padded here early. Talk about a nice start to the season.
Yeah, I mean,
Giants, Redskins, Dolphins. I mean, they're not
really
exactly great defenses by any stretch of the imagination. So Dak's going to have some. He's already completed 80% of his passes.
Dak's
right?
51 of 62 on the year so far. 674 yards. 7 touchdowns to 1 pick. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football right now. He's 55 of 77. He's thrown for 821. 7 touchdowns to no picks.
I know Dak is more experienced, but Mahomes is better than Dak Prescott.
That is correct. Guess who's the second best quarterback in football after 2 games?
The second best quarterback after 2 games in the NFL. It's not Dak?
Nope.
Tom Brady?
Nope. Andrew?
You asked RJ? Andrew. Is it Carson Wentz?
Nope. RJ? You refuse to guess?
Patrick Mahomes?
Nope, he's the first one.
Yeah, thanks for listening. You only run in the ship. Iceberg ahead!
Andy Dalton.
Dalton.
Thrown for 729 yards. He's 61 of 93, 729, 4 touchdowns and a pick.
You know, you can ask 10 people on the street if he was still in the league. 5 would say they're not sure.
That's the Red Rocket.
I know.
Not my favorite nickname, by the way. I just want to add
that. What would your nickname be? Like Firehead? What would you call
it? Either way, I don't know. It conjures an image I don't like.
Because, again, we're really doubling down on the lack of interest in the 49ers-Bengals game last week.
Which we're still fighting that.
Like, I had a chance to watch it. I refused to watch it because Michael picked it. Like,
he couldn't have gotten
it. I was just against that.
He could not have gotten it more right, by the way.
And I think we exposed Michael that RJ's his source because, again, he picked that out of nowhere. And then what did RJ say during the interview when I asked him about the Thursday game?
I forgive you. What did RJ say? RJ Bell.
RJ Bell, not
touching it. He said he's not touching it.
Exactly what Michael said.
Yes.
Which we predicted.
100%.
So I thought it was on Incarcerated Bob.
Do you research it?
I think it's RJ.
I think it's
Bell.
RJ.
Also, Incarcerated Bob is tweeting that the Chiefs are kicking the tires on Ramsey.
Wow. That would be interesting. Lastly, Doc Rivers' daughter, Callie, just got married to Seth Curry.
The Portland Trailblazer.
That is correct.
If he's still there, I don't know what his contract status is. Wasn't he a free agent?
Yes, but I believe he signed there, didn't he? 4 years, $32 million.
I think I know because that's my team, although I'll never disclose why.
It's a great point. But Doc said he would have preferred to not have to foot the bill. Quote, it was very expensive. He said of the Malibu wedding, I have to be the first coach to ever throw a wedding for an NBA player. Like, I don't get that. I don't think I should have paid. I really don't. But it was fantastic.
But is that still a thing where the father of the bride or the family of the bride pay for the wedding?
It's a little dated, right? If the husband's that rich, is it really necessary?
It's dated. It's
the Curry family could be. I mean, the Rivers family does well. The Curry family does a different kind of well.
Well, listen, nobody's hurting for cash.
No, they're all going to be
tongue in cheek.
I
don't know why you can't split things. Or why can't you?
It's a very Michael.
Wait a minute. Why are the families even getting involved anyway? Guess what? You want to marry my daughter? Have fun. You pay the bill.
Yeah.
You're in the NBA.
How much you made? $100 million? You'll be all right.
Done. It's not even like it's not even a thing.
Oh, Seth, you're not as rich as your brother? That's fine. You got $80 million. You'll be cool. It's a very Michael Kay-ish quote from Doc Rivers. And they both have and the daughters with similar names.
Well, what would Michael say? That's kidding on the square.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I think Doc was trying to be funny, but deep down inside, he's like, why in God's name am I paying for this wedding?
And if Doc says he's kidding.
Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
ENN, fueled by Sloman's. Looking for low-priced home heating oil this winter? Call 866-OIL-DEAL for low-priced home heating oil and service from Sloman's. That's 866-OIL-DEAL. Can I just be the first and last to say, I am so sick of these 6:30 games. It's so annoying.
This is the last one,
like,
right? Because tomorrow's going to be a regularly scheduled because it's Friday, and then the Yankees close out on the road.
Do you guys like them? I'm asking you. Hey, you, person who's sitting right now in traffic fighting to get to the stadium by 6:30. You like this?
Who paid good money to miss the first three innings of a baseball game.
You're not going to make it for 40 minutes. You're stuck listening to this show. You'll be listening to all of us and Alan Hahn not making it to the game. Are you into it? It just seems like it's a waste to me, but whatever.
All right, calls, and we got lots to do, taking up until 7 o'clock, and then it's Alan Hahn right here on the Michael Kay Show with Don and Peter on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.